Just don't even worry about it. If I do go into a slump, just acknowledge it, keep working, and the things will pick up from there.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Getting to the end of the season previews now, but we still got a few teams to go, and one of those teams that we're going to be talking about is the Dallas Mavericks. And to talk about the Mavs, I'm joined by one of the hosts of the Locked On Mavs podcast, and that is Nick Angstadt. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Josh, thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Nick was here last year to do the Mavericks season preview. We're going to be doing it all again now. Michael Bolton's ready.
Let's get to it.
All right, let's talk about this Mavs team, Nick, which is full of a lot of excitement for this upcoming team. You have gone in the time-honored tradition of the hosts of the podcasts going with the over, have a projected record of 41-41. The total is 34.5 at Vegas. I believe maybe one or two of the 22 hosts that I've done so far have gone under. So you're well in the majority there. 41-41, probably not enough to push for the playoffs, but it is a significant jump up from where they were last season. I think the reasons for your optimism and the reasons for the improvement are pretty clear, but if you just want to state them for the record, go ahead.
Do you want to out who picked the under on their teams?
You know what? You talk for a minute and I'll bring it up and I'll tell you the two people who are down on their teams.
Okay. And the reason why I have optimism, and I'm glad that it's finally, like, it seems like everybody picks the over and people get optimistic about their team around this time. People, you know, teams are starting to get put together. You see the rookies, you see them working out, you see a whole bunch of, you know, positive teams from your team. But I think for the Mavericks, there actually is some real good positive things for once in the last couple of years. The last 2 years covering the Mavericks have just been absolutely miserable. There's really all this stuff that, you know, has gone on with the team. And even in, you know, with the franchise itself, we still have the investigation going on right now. And so this team has just been through this slog of the last 2 years. And so finally, there's some interesting things. We have Luka Doncic, who I think should be the rookie of the year. And I think should be everybody's pick to be rookie of the year, unless you ask Michael Porter Jr. You have DeAndre Jordan, who is, you know, on a one-year deal, but a kind of a prove-it deal. He's finally in Dallas. They finally were able to bring him along, and he should have a good season playing for Rick Carlisle if he fits into that mold that they really wanted Nerlens Noel to fit in that he didn't want to fit in. So they have DeAndre Jordan actually come in and do that. You have some wing guys that are interesting that have kind of been overused in their roles in Wes Matthews and Harrison Barnes, and now hopefully with a couple other pieces, they'll be able to fit into their roles a little bit better. And then you have another year of Dennis Smith Jr. to see what he can add to his game. He's been working out with Steph's trainer, so we'll see what he can add to his game. And there's some optimism for sure. It's all in Dallas and from the Locked On Mavericks podcast for sure.
There is three teams that I can see so far on my list that have gone the under with their team's projected record. It was the Lakers, it was the Knicks, and it was the Warriors, because the Warriors over under was 62, and they said, "Oh yeah, let's just ease back, pull back on that a little
That's
bit."
That's fascinating. Those are all for completely different reasons too. Yeah,
exactly. Everyone else has gone over. There's a few I still haven't recorded yet, so we'll see how those go. But at this point, I believe they are the three teams that have gone with the under in their over under for the season. Nick, the projected leading scorer on this team, you have gone with the pencil Harrison Barnes, who, as you just referenced, and probably a little bit overstretched in his role on this team, averaged almost 19 points per game. But those of us who play fantasy understand that Harrison Barnes offers very little outside of scoring. He's not a rebounder and assist guy. He doesn't get steals or blocks at all. He's inefficient from the field. He shoots well from the line, and he is solid around that 100 mark. But he is a guy that consistently seems to be overdrafted in fantasy leagues. Even again this season, Yahoo has said, well, you know what? He was the 97th ranked player last season, so let's make him rank 75th this season. And to me, I don't see any way that he actually improves, you know, what he does in those other areas this season, and actually might see somewhat of a dip in usage from what he does. Now, he's been great for the Mavericks, but his overall contribution, especially from a fantasy point of view, is just not well-rounded. So am I wrong on Barnes? Is there something that he can add to his game this year that will make these other areas look more important? Or does playing alongside someone like DeAndre Jordan, shifting down a position perhaps and playing maybe more at the three if Dirk is playing less center with DeAndre Jordan around, is that going to have a negative impact on him?
Yeah, it's kind of been a running joke, I guess, is what you want to say. It's been a storyline that's repeated itself over the last two off seasons that Harrison Barnes is going to add, you know, rebounding to his game. Oh, yeah. He's going to add assists to his game. He's going to add free throws to his game. And we've seen those tick up just ever so gradually the last 2 years. I mean, but it's still not enough to make a gigantic impact. This is kind of a season, though, where if he really wants to, you know, make those changes in his game, he's going to be 26 next year. He's entering, you know, his prime. And if he wants to make those big changes into his game, this is a year to do it because you have guys that can actually score. You have Dennis Smith Jr. that'll be, you know, a second year in the league. You have Luka Doncic coming over that's, you know, a pretty proven scorer over in Europe. And if he, you know, wants to try to facilitate a little more, wants to rebound more, wants to, you know, do some of those things more, this is kind of the year. I don't expect him to make huge improvements to make him that, you know, 75th ranked fantasy. But that, to me, I agree with you. That seems kind of ridiculous. And his scoring may tick down even a little bit because of adding, you know, those kind of scorers. But I still think he'll probably lead the team. It'll probably be all really close. You'll have a couple of guys that are, you know, in those, you know, like 15 to 18 range. And yeah, he'll probably just be the top one just because of usage still.
Last year, he was at 19 and Dennis Smith was at 15. I can see that gap narrowing between those two. Then you add in Doncic as well, who probably isn't going to get quite to that level, but has an opportunity to. So yeah, I think Barnes is significantly overrated for his fantasy ability, especially if you're looking at drafting him in that 70 zone. Like, it's not prudent. And getting scoring is important, but I think you can still find some scoring in other areas and you can get that early in your drafts and get guys who can actually contribute in other spots. But if you are lacking in the points category, well, there aren't going to be too many guys who are going to be getting you 18 points in that zone. So Barnes can have some value, but he's probably not going to be a guy that I'm super interested in at that point in a draft. Injury-wise, this team, at least going into the season, seems to be okay. Dirk did have an ankle procedure, but he's, you know, at the age of, what is he, 622 now. He's ready to go for another season, and I don't think this ankle thing is a problem.
Yeah, no, it's not a problem. If this gets out quick enough, and I think this is actually on the Dallas Mavericks Twitter account right now. JJ Barea posted an Instagram story of Dirk with a behind the back through the legs dribble drive to the basket and then a dunk, and his ankle is okay. But if you watch that, it'll not make you want to draft him in fantasy anytime soon.
Yeah.
Even though he does convert it, but he's still like looks like a baby giraffe when he's out there running. But his ankle's going to be fine. He's going to be ready for the starter camp for sure.
Dirk played 25 minutes per game last season. He was the 107th ranked guy. I guess the big question here with Dirk is, or there's two questions. A, will his minutes go down? I think that's almost a guaranteed yes. But the second question, Nick, is, and this is a question that we don't know yet, and I reckon it's probably a 50-50, is he going to start?
Yeah, it's been that's 50-50 is probably the right way to put it. It's probably going to be the biggest question going into media day besides DeAndre Jordan, why did you decide to come to the Mavericks now instead of 2015? But I believe, and my co-host Isaac Harris believes, that he'll start and that Wes Matthews will come off the bench. Now, he'll start, and what Dirk starting means is like the first 4 minutes or the first stoppage of play, the first timeout, the first media timeout, whenever that happens, Dirk will then go to the bench. Wes Matthews will come in. You'll have that lineup with Harrison Barnes or Luka Doncic shifting to the four, either one of those guys, and then, you know, the rest follows suit.
Yeah, that's how I see it happening as well. And I think Dirk is probably going to be pushing down to maybe a 22, 23-minute role, which is going to push him out of real consideration for fantasy. And I always talk about this. If the, you know, his rank is 120, and that's fine, maybe he can be the 120th guy. I don't think he will be, but in that zone, I want to take guys that if everything breaks right, like I did with Tyreek Evans last season, you take them there, and if it breaks right, they're a top 60 guy, a top 70 guy. Whereas Dirk, if it breaks right, he goes from 120 to 110, maybe. Maybe he does that. I don't know. And in a deeper format, if you've got 20 teams, then that 120 to 140 zone is mid-range. And I expect Dirk to be able to put up numbers in that 120 to 150 mark, and that's fine. But in a league where that's your last pick or your second last pick, then there's just no upside in Dirk, because we all know at the age of 40, he's still really, really good at what he does, but everything is just dropping off. He's never been a big blocks guy or a big rebounds guy or doesn't get assists. He's not going to shoot high field goal percentage. We know what he does. it's going to be solid, but it's just got no upside. So, you know, with Dirk in that spot, it's always awesome to see Dirk out there playing and doing what he needs to do. But we all also have to take, I guess, our memories out of it when looking at what he's going to produce this season. And it is going to be, I believe, you know, pretty significantly reduced as of or compared to where he was last season. Now, Nick, you have gone with the breakout player on this team as Luka Doncic. Again, there is considerable skepticism in many areas. I'm sure many people who listen to this podcast don't hold that same level of skepticism. I know you don't. He was unbelievable in Europe, unprecedented stuff that he was able to do. He comes across, I think, and I think you'll agree with me, he is a day one starter. He's still only 19 years of age. There may be some concerns with some field goal percentage for him, but he's a strong rebounder. He will get steals. He'll get assists. There's no issue to me with him playing, you know, off the ball or alongside Dennis Smith. He knows how to do that. This guy is a guy who does have, you know, some top 50 upside for this season, probably more of in the 70, probably in that range where people are looking at drafting Harrison Barnes is where you should look at Doncic. But he's going to come in, he's going to contribute, and he's going to play minutes straight away.
Yeah, it almost seemed like a cop-out picking him as the breakout player because he's a rookie. It's almost like picking the second-year player to win most improved just because they got, you know, a better opportunity or something. But man, he's going to come in, and I truly believe that he's going to come in and have an immediate impact on this team. He's going to fill up the box score like he did over in Europe. I think he's going to be given the opportunity. They tried. They played Dennis Smith Jr. a lot off the ball towards the end of last year to try to figure out how this was going to work. Sort of they sort of saw the future in this. They, you know, they played JJ Barea and Dennis Smith Jr. a lot together and tried to figure out how Dennis can play off the ball. They've really pounded in it into Dennis's head that he's going to have to play off the ball. And so to me, that says that somebody was going to come in and have the ball in their hands, and there was nobody better in the offseason to acquire than, you know, Luka Doncic in that way. So he's going to fill up the box score. He's going to give you a lot of different things, a lot of different categories. And man, I almost picked him to be the leading scorer on this team, and I might still going into the season. I might talk myself into it because I just think he's going to be that good.
Look, if he does that, if he gets to 18 points per game, then it's a guaranteed top 50. For some unbelievably stupid reason, he is the 146th ranked player on Yahoo. That is nonsense. His ADP is 104. That's getting closer to making more sense, but still, that 146 makes absolutely zero sense. To me, he is a guaranteed top 100 guy and probably a guaranteed top 80 guy with that top 50 upside. He's the number one rookie in this class by a considerable margin to me. I think he's a top 20 upside guy in the next 3 to 4 seasons. You know, huge upside. People do have that worry with Carlisle. They look, oh yeah, but he hates rookies. He still played Dennis Smith 29 and a half minutes per game last season, and Doncic is on a different level to where Smith is. He's coming in. He's already said the right things, Carlisle. Not even the right things, but said things that should make us excited that he's going to play him in many different spots, at the one and at the four and everywhere in between, and that's going to help what he can do. Doncic plays with the ball. He plays off the ball. He's going to be able to do a ton of stuff. Now, I'm never one for reaching for rookies, but a pick 100, if Doncic is there, it is absolutely as no-brainerish as it comes.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And the thing about the Carlisle doesn't like rookies and that whole stigma, and I was monitoring this a lot last year when Dennis Smith Jr. was a rookie and he was first coming in. And you think about the way that the Mavericks have drafted the last couple of years, and even, you know, like 10 years before this, they just didn't have anybody to play. I mean, Justin Anderson was probably their best rookie in, you know, a decade.
Yeah, he doesn't like bad rookies.
Yeah, they have so many bad, you know, players. And the Nerlens Noel thing is, you know, a little different than that. But Dennis Smith Jr. last year had a 29% usage rate, the highest on the team by far, and, you know, approaching 30, which is an insane amount of usage. And I'm sure that Luka Doncic will, you know, be given the reins to that extent, maybe even more.
Yeah, and Doncic, I think, will have a plus 20 usage rate, but his game's not all about usage, and people do need to remember what usage actually means, because a lot of people do get confused. Usage is field goal attempts, it's free throw attempts, and it's turnovers. It's got nothing to do with how often you have the ball in your hands. It's got nothing to do with how many assists you get, not anything to do with how many touches you get, and sometimes you're having the ball in your hands, or you have to have the ball in your hands to get shot attempts. But Ricky Rubio was a guy that was generating heaps of assists with a usage of about 15 or 16%. So remember, when everyone starts talking usage, and if you're going to start referencing usage when thinking about guys, it means that actual usage stat means field goal attempts, free throw attempts, turnovers. That's literally all it means, and sometimes it can be extrapolated to how many assists you get. Sometimes it doesn't. It really does just depend on that individual player. So just remember that the term usage is not interchangeable with the idea of having the ball in your hands all the time, because they are different things. It's on a statistically speaking. Two-way players, Nick, Kostas Antetokounmpo, Daryl, now Mason, Macon. How do I say that name? I need to learn that one.
Yeah, Macon.
Macon. All right, cool. Well, he's probably going to play about two games, so I don't need to talk too much about him. But let's talk Kostas Antetokounmpo, who I think showed quite a bit defensively, the 60th pick in the NBA draft. The Mavs used it quite a bit in terms of their young guys last season and rotated guys in undrafted players. We saw Maxi Kleber play a significant role. They've brought in Ryan Brokhoff this season. Do you think that Antetokounmpo, it's the rawness of his game is going to be something that we're just going to have to wait and see how that projects over the next couple of games, and he's going to be playing most of his games for the Legends rather than for the Mavericks?
Yeah, I imagine he'll get some time in training camp, and then he'll pretty much play for the rest of the time with the Texas Legends. The guy that was you know, not a two-way that I thought might get that two-way spot was Ray Spalding, who we'll probably mention later. But for Kostas Antetokounmpo, I think, you know, we're looking at, you know, where can he play? Is he a four? You know, I think he's definitely a five. You know, what kind of skills can he develop? You know, how does his, you know, body kind of shape out? We're just looking at all those kind of developmental things at the beginning of the season, but mostly with the Legends. And then maybe towards the end of the year, like we saw Jonathan Motley, who Kostas kind of took his spot, you know, Jonathan Motley, who ended up going to the Clippers. We'll see maybe him at the end of the season. If the Mavericks are completely out of it, they'll bring him up to the big club and they'll play him some minutes there.
With Doncic in the frame here now for Dallas, is there anything that you think that Carlisle, you will look to do different with the way that the team sets up? Will it be an increase in pace? They've been one of those teams who's been notoriously slow in terms of pace over the past couple of seasons. Do you think he'll look to speed things up in that regard, just because of that addition of these younger, more ball moving type of guards with Smith and Doncic there now?
Yeah, he's been really trying to, but there's only so much you can speed up when you have Dirk Nowitzki on the floor.
That's true.
And you know, they were already the 26th slowest team in terms of pace, like you said, last year, and Dirk was trailing on pretty much half of the drives down the court. So I'm not sure how much faster they can get in that regard, but I think they will try to play faster. With Doncic in transition with Dennis Smith Jr., that's the hustle and flow combo that the Mavericks fans should be super excited about, is outlet passes from Luka to Dennis down the court, and, you know, and vice versa, hopefully.
I think we see that, yeah. I think we do see that pace increase. And with DeAndre Jordan playing that center role more than Dirk Nowitzki as well, and Dirk's minutes coming down, that'll enable that pace to move up. You're talking about, you know, Doncic, Smith, Jordan, Barnes as that core four guys now who are going to be playing the bulk of the minutes, and they're all guys who can move and get out in transition and do those sort of things that should see an elevated pace. So it's going to make it easier for Carlisle to make that transition this season as we head into a new Mavericks era. The most likely player to be traded, you have gone with Wes Matthews. We already talked a little bit about Wes in terms of him coming off the bench or him starting. It doesn't really matter. The minutes will be, I guess, similar either way. But he did play 34 minutes per game last season, Nick. I think that number will come down for Wes. He opted into the final year of his contract. What's the likelihood of him being moved? Are they out on Matthews? He is, you know, going to be 32 very soon. How much are they looking to minimize him this season?
Yeah, I think they'll still play him a ton. You know, if he starts coming off the bench, and maybe he doesn't like that, maybe they start to try to move him a little bit earlier. But he's been in rumors for, you know, to be traded over the last 2 years, the trade deadline towards the end of the season, and, you know, things like that. But I'm not sure that they're actively looking to move him right now. They want to try to play him. They like the fit with, you know, with Dennis. They like the fit with Luka. But he's on the expiring contract, you know, this pretty big expiring contract. He can definitely help a contender, you know, with the 3-and-D. He's still one of the, you know, really good 3-and-D players in the NBA. And so maybe they try to do it as sort of a make good. He's been on these terrible Mavericks teams for the last couple of years. Maybe they try to send him off to somebody that can, you know, he can go and contend somewhere. The Mavericks are constantly trying to make themselves look like a franchise that treats their players well, and maybe this is a way, you know, that they could do that kind of thing with him. So that's the reason why I put him, but I don't think they're actively looking to trade him just yet.
He was the 106th ranked player last season in those 34 minutes per game. Yahoo's got him down at 152. I think that's right about the right spot. Again, I think some of that playing time does decrease. One of the other things that had increased with Wes over the last couple of seasons was his assist rate. But of course, with Doncic in there as that primary slash wing initiator alongside Dennis Smith, Matthews won't be getting those same level of opportunities to be that guy as that secondary guy, which he was last season, because we know Barnes can't handle that role. But now everyone slides down a position with two initiators in the lineup, whereas Matthews was doing that as a one and a half sort of initiator alongside Smith last season and did up that assist rate. But I think that'll come back down closer to what he was doing in his Portland days. He just won't have as many opportunities to set up the offense as he had in the past. The draft picks on this team, we've spoken about Doncic already. Jalen Brunson was picked at number 33. I thought he struggled quite a bit in Summer League. Is he, at this point, we've got JJ Barea probably as the primary backup point guard. There's Devin Harris still around. Yeah, Brunson's probably going to find it tough to have a role this season on this team. And how worried were you with those struggles that he showed in Summer League?
Yeah, a little worried about it. But then I think the biggest thing I took out of Summer League with him was all of the, scouts and people talking about just, how good they liked it, how much they liked his feel of the game and just, how he went about playing. And yeah, he struggled shooting really, really badly, but there are some positives to take out of that as well. I think he's going to get time. I think that the reason why they let Yogi Ferrell go and the deal that Yogi Ferrell accepted from the Mavs and then declined and then went to the Kings was not that much bigger. I think the Mavericks could have definitely matched it. And so to me, that says that they think that Jalen Brunson can fill that role for a lot less than what Yogi Ferrell was going to, try to fill again this year. So I think that they have some trust and some confidence in Jalen Brunson. I think he's going to play that third point guard role. Devin Harris played hilariously. Devin Harris played a lot of three last year. He played next to JJ Barea and Yogi Ferrell. And so I don't think that's going to be the case this year. But you have Luka Doncic who can fit all over the place. So who knows where they're going to, line things up. Carlisle loves his two and three guard lineup. So maybe we'll see a couple with, Devin, Jalen, and JJ. Maybe they end up doing that the same way they did with Yogi last year. Who knows?
Shout out to that guy that had Jalen Brunson ranked higher than Luka Doncic on his draft board before the draft. That's probably not going to look that great as we move into their careers. The other guy that they did pick in the draft, we've spoken about the other three. They had four draft picks, three second rounders. The golf ball, Ray Spalding at number 56. He did get that contract. We speculated that maybe he was going to be a two-way guy, but he got a contract with this team. Unlikely to be a rotational guy, but I thought he showed enough stuff at Summer League to be interesting. He does have a very nice, projectable fantasy type skill set, blocks, steals, rebounds well, can get out, shoot the three a little bit. So there's a little bit of something there, but he's going to be buried a little bit this season.
Yeah, a little bit of something is a great way to put it. But when you have DeAndre Jordan taking all of the, a ton of more minutes than the Mavericks have maybe ever had at the center position, then Dirk Nowitzki probably playing some center. You have Maxi Kleba and you have Dwight Powell taking center minutes. Salah Mejri was brought back. It's going to be impossible for him to try to get minutes on this team. He'll probably play a lot with the Legends as well. So that'll be kind of an interesting 4-5 potentially with Kostas and Ray Spalding. But then the same way with Kostas and Antetokounmpo. Towards the end of the year, we could see a lot more Ray Spalding. But I don't know. Isaac thinks that there's a chance that one of Salah or Maxi gets the boot for Ray Spalding. But he's just really high on him because Isaac's from Kentucky and Ray Spalding went to Louisville. So
there you go. So that is. I do think there is something with Spalding. I think there's a little bit of a spark there, especially for a guy picked at number 56. I think there's something to definitely watch with him as we head in to see how he goes this season. The projected starting five, you've gone with Dennis Smith Jr., Luka Doncic, Harrison Barnes, Dirk Nowitzki, and DeAndre Jordan. We've already talked about the potential of Dirk or Wes getting that starting spot, but probably 50-50 at the moment. Let's talk Dennis Smith, though. Yahoo's got him ranked pretty high at number 67. Last season, he was the 142nd ranked player. The fact that he is ranked 67th and Doncic is 146th, I would comfortably swap those over, even though I think 146 would be too low for Smith. He had his struggles, but as we've mentioned, he played minutes, he got lots of usage, and I think that playing alongside another ball handler, Nick, you'd know this better than me, but I believe his splits versus off the dribble and catch and shoot threes, it was a pretty stark difference in the percentage there. So if he's looking to take more shots off the catch, that's going to really help his efficiency in his overall ability to provide some value, because he was a sub 40% shooter last year, but that could easily go up if he's doing more catch and shoot sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think he's definitely better in that way. But he was also going against, you know, sometimes the other team's best defender. You know, they look at, you know, okay, do I defend Dennis, Wes, Harrison Barnes, maybe play, who's playing the four, you know, or Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, one of these other guys, who am I going to choose in this? And so Dennis got the brunt of that. And so Luka will bring a lot of attention away. He'll be able to set Dennis up in a way that maybe no one else except for JJ Barea on the team could do last year. And I expect, like you said, his usage to go down, his attempts, his opportunities to be able to score possibly go down, all those kind of numbers, the assists probably, maybe just a tick, but maybe his efficiency goes up because, you know, he's another year working in the NBA, another year where he's a professional working with some of these guys, learning the tendencies, and then, you know, playing that off-ball kind of guard. So yeah, I'm very interested to see Dennis Smith Jr., how he's going to progress. So we've seen a lot of these point guards come into the league, like a Kemba Walker or a you know, a Jeff Teague kind of player, where they really struggled the first year trying to shoot. Their you know, shooting numbers are really, really bad, and then the next year somehow they kind of, it takes a step forward and then a step forward, and it's just a gradual progression. So I think Dennis is kind of on one of those paths with some of those guys.
The Kemba Walker comparison is interesting because he just couldn't do anything for the first 2 to 3 seasons in the NBA in terms of his shooting numbers. So that could really, you know, be something that he could follow along with. And if he is getting more of those off-ball looks, I think that does help him. He had a true shooting of like 47%. I reckon it's a chance to get over 50 this season, and over 50 is not a high bar to pass. You know, NBA average is about 56, 57, that sort of an area. But I do think that he can get that above 50, which would improve them maybe 20 spots in ranking-wise from where he was last season, plus some extra minutes and just the overall increase in what he's able to do. I think he's a top 100 guy, but I also don't think that he is a guy that you're looking at that number 67 pick where he is currently ranked at the moment. DeAndre Jordan's the other member of that starting five we haven't touched on. He was, I think sneakily, he was not good last season, I guess from his fantasy point of view. Yahoo's ranked him 65th. We all know that you don't want to draft him at all in any roto leagues. He is a punt free throw guy only, despite the improvements that he did show, and he did show improvements. He had a 10 percentage point increase in his free throw percentage. It's just that the huge volume that he's on makes it hard to recover from. But the sneaky thing is he's gone from 2.3 blocks per game in the 15-16 season to 0.9 last season. And for a guy who is, yeah, not old, but definitely not young. His game relies on athleticism. He is 30 years of age now, I believe, as he turned 30. He's just turned 30. While I don't think his blocks are necessarily going to decrease too much, that's a real worry when you look at Jordan, because he's always been, I mean, he's going to get me rebounds, he's going to get me field goal percentage, he's going to get me blocks, so that's why he's value there. But if one of those things drops away, which the blocks did, that really does impact what he's able to do. Still going to get those rebounds, which is probably going to reduce other players' rebounds on this team, but we have to have that level of caution with Jordan. But one thing, Nick, I don't think we need to be worried about is the minutes. He's going to be getting those minutes. He's locked in there. Dwight Powell or Salah Mejri aren't coming for his playing time.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it is kind of a fascinating thing that the blocks going down. And so you wonder, is this a result of him just getting maybe more respect? You know, eventually you make enough all NBA teams, you make enough all defensive teams that maybe teams respect you more, or maybe there's not as many opportunities for him there. Maybe it's just the athleticism going down, but I wonder how that's going to change in Carlisle's system. He really wants his centers and really, really tried to get Nerlens Noel to do this. And I alluded to this earlier, but be the guy that is the back line of the defense, that gets blocks, that gets, you know, that gets steals, that is, you know, there to support the rest of the players. But Nerlens didn't want to do that. He wanted to run out and guard guards and do all these different things and try to be the guy and in Dallas for, but DeAndre Jordan, man, who knows what they're going to get from him as far as, you know, blocks per game or anything like that. But his rebounding is probably still going to be there, and the Mavericks desperately, desperately needed somebody to be able to rebound like he does. And then, you know, Lob City might be back, and it might be in Dallas. We might see DeAndre Jordan and Harrison Barnes even, and Dennis Smith Jr. for sure getting in on some of that action from Luka Doncic.
Yeah, exactly. Those Doncic passes on those alley-oops, especially to Smith, is going to be something to watch, but also with Jordan. Now, I talked a lot of shit there about DeAndre Jordan, but still, if you're punting free throws, he's still a guy who's, I think, a pretty comfortable top 40 player, and you don't need to take him there. So he's still a guy you can grab around that 50 or so mark, but just you don't want to have that high reliance on him being that high blocks guy. I think the numbers do come up. this season. I don't know how much they come up, and I don't think they return to 15, 16, or maybe even 16, 17 levels. But I'm pretty confident that DeAndre is going to be going out and putting up over a block per game this for this coming season. I've already gone through some value guys. I think Doncic at 146 is ridiculous, and I think Barnes at 75. To a lesser degree, Smith at 67 and Dirk at 120 are not really high value type of players on this team for fantasy. But there's a couple of guys that we haven't really spoken about yet, Nick. JJ Brea returned absolutely fantastic value last season, a top 135 player in only 23 minutes, one of the elite assist streamers off the bench last season. I imagine that Brea, like a few of these other guys, he's older now, he's 34, and with Doncic around, maybe that exclusivity he had in terms of being a distributor is maybe reduced a bit this season, and that might impact his playing time, but B, his ability to get assists. I don't think they're going to have to rely upon him quite as much as they did last season.
Yeah, probably not, but I'm excited to see, you know, Luka Doncic and JJ Barea play together and see how that pairing could, you know, could work out for the Mavericks. Because a lot of times when you watch Luka Doncic, you say, man, that's just like, he plays just like JJ Barea if he was, you know, 6 inches taller, you know, or 7 inches taller or something like that. They play, their games are very similar in that way. But yeah, his numbers will all probably go down, even though he didn't average a ton of minutes last year. I mean, he was under, you know, 24 minutes a game last year. And I imagine that to be the exact same. He's going to be still the team's primary backup point guard. Jalen Brunson's not going to come in and take those minutes. Devin Harris is probably still going to play that backup two or maybe even the backup three like he did last year. So he's still probably going to be right about the same, but we'll see where his numbers end up. And he could be more efficient too, I think. He only shot like 44% last year from the field and 36% from three. If he's getting a lot more open shots, if he's playing with Luka Doncic, he's playing with a second-year Dennis Smith Jr. and getting some, you know, open looks, maybe his efficiency goes up as well if you're looking for that.
Let's just set the record straight right here, Nick. How tall is JJ Brea actually?
Man, it is one of the weirdest things when you stand next to him, because you're looking down at him as you're talking to him and you're saying, man, this is a professional athlete that I am literally looking at the top of his head. Now, I'm about 6'3", so man, he's definitely sub 6 foot. There's all these hilarious, you know, that every time they give you a program it says JJ Barea 6 foot tall and you just laugh at it. So he's probably, I would say 5'10". That'd be my guess.
I reckon 5'10" might be marginally generous as well. But yeah, he's definitely not 6 feet tall. I think we can all unite behind that cause. Let's a couple of other big men on this team I want to talk about who had some pretty decent years. Dwight Powell, I thought, you know, came on really strong, but with, of course, the addition of DeAndre Jordan, that's going to limit what Powell can do. He was one of those really reliable players for fantasy. He'd get you steals at a high rate, decent blocks, solid rebounder, high percentages. But we're unlikely to see Dwight get that same level that he did last season, just with a more reliable center option there with DeAndre Jordan. But he did take some steps forward, but I think people maybe not realize that Dwight Powell's 27 years of age at this point.
Yeah, he's been in the league a while. He came into the league a little bit later. He spent 4 years at Stanford, so he came to the league at 23 years old, and he's been in the league for, you know, a couple years now. So he is a guy that definitely benefited from his role. And if Isaac Harris is listening to this, he will laugh hilariously when I just said that. But his role completely changed in the Maverick system. They played him with this lineup, this lineup that I called the Savvy Six, which was JJ Barea, Yogi Ferrell, Devin Harris, Dwight Powell, Dirk Nowitzki, and then the six is Rick Carlisle, because he just puts these weird pieces together and figures out how they play well together. He used Dirk as this floor stretcher, and then he just used Dwight Powell to just rim run. He's like, okay, do exactly what you do well and just only do that. Because before, you know, last year and even earlier in this past season, he was trying to, you know, add this three-point shot to his game, and he was trying to step out and shoot these long-range twos and just trying to do all these things that in theory, you'd want a big man to try to do, but if it doesn't work out for him, then, you know, what do you really have? You have a guy that's, you know, a big guy that's just standing far from the basket and isn't, you know, making any space at all because nobody's respecting it. So he became that rim runner. That's when we saw his numbers go up. That's when we saw the increase. And that's when, you know, when his role changed. So hopefully he can keep that same role, and he's probably still going to be the primary backup, you know, four, even though we're going to see Luka and Harrison Barnes play some of that. It's very fluid, this you know, rotation for the Mavericks right now.
Speaking of the big man rotation, Maxi Kleber played way more than I think anyone anticipated. 72 games, 17 minutes per game. But I get the feeling that Kleber may be a little bit on the outside looking in. We've already talked about Barnes and Nowitzki playing at the four and Jordan and Powell with those big man minutes there. I think it might be, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, it might be tough for Kleber to get that same level of playing time this season that he saw last year. He was inconsistent. He had three games with at least four blocks and then other games where he wouldn't even trouble the scorers in that area. A couple of decent scoring games and he looked good sometimes and looked bad other times. It's going to be, I think, a harder task for him to be able to repeat his rookie season.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get that kind of minutes because this team was just, they were sucking for talent where, you know, wherever they could get it. But I was really impressed by him in training camp last year. And I said, man, this guy's probably going to make the team. He was relatively unknown coming into the season. And he did end up making the team. He played a lot. He started like 36 games for the team last year. And I was kind of surprised by that. But Carlisle really liked his defense and his toughness. And I expect him to be able to shoot from three a lot better. His three-point shot looks really, really good. He just wasn't able to hit, you know, very efficiently last year. 31% from three, but adjusting to that, you know, NBA three-point line, taking that extra step back, he's been working on that a lot. And if he does get to crack the rotation, it might probably be because of an injury or, you know, some weird Carlisle thing that he just, you know, picks one guy over another and you have no idea why, and then all of a sudden either it works out or it doesn't. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up in the rotation.
The last situation I want to talk about is, I guess, the backup wing type area. We've got Dorian Finney-Smith, who missed a ton of time last year, and, of course, the Aussie Ryan Brokhoff, who comes in there in that zone. Now, I just want to quickly touch on Brokhoff because his shooting numbers in Europe are pretty incredible. Last season, he shot 49% from three. The year before, he shot 40% from three. The year before that, he shot 45% from three. And you guessed it, the year before that, he shot 44% from three. So he is a guy that just bangs in threes. Dorian Finney-Smith is probably what you'd call maybe not quite as good of a shooter. Maybe he's not right at that level. And with, you know, spacing being something that is quite important in the NBA, I think that Brokhoff will get that role over Finney-Smith. But we know that Finney-Smith has had lots of support from Carlo with his defensive efforts. But how do you see that working out? An older rookie versus an undrafted third-year guy?
Yeah, I think one of the best things Dorian Finney-Smith did was become best friends with Dennis Smith Jr. I think that definitely helped him on this team. He was dealing with a lot of injuries last year, didn't get to play a ton, never really gotten a rhythm playing last season. And then he ends up playing summer league. He's sneakily going to be 25 years old this year. He came in as an older rookie playing at Florida for a couple years. And so he comes in and he played summer league, you know, this past year. And Isaac and I were really, very expectant of his summer league and said, man, he really has to shoot the lights out or else, man, he might not even make this team next year, which I still think he'll make it, but he did not shoot well in summer league at all. It's just something about Las Vegas that makes him shoot really, really bad, like just really poorly. I think he made one out of 23s last year or something crazy like that. So his 3-point shot is really going to, that's how he's going to make, you know, that's how he's going to earn his minutes really. And if Ryan Brokhoff comes in and shoots as well as he did overseas, like you said, all those numbers before, he's definitely gonna take that spot. And I totally agree with you, even, you know, before you said that, I think that he's gonna take that spot. He's gonna be their backup three, and he's just gonna feast off of Luka Doncic. Dennis Smith Jr., you know, passes into the corner.
Yeah, don't be surprised if Brokhoff at some point turns into like a Wayne Ellington, Joe Harris light. They probably, you're always gonna get the 25 or 26 minutes a night that those guys get, but they come in and bang in, you know, two and a half threes a game at 40-45%. Brokhoff could very easily come in and hit maybe 1.5 threes in say 17 minutes and do that at high percentage. So that'd be something that is worth monitoring for fantasy as well, because he does have that history. Him and James Nunnally, two guys coming over from Europe this season who have been just lights out 3-point shooters, and we'll see how it translates, but it is something to watch for those guys who can come in and really contribute in that that Ellington, Harris, or even Troy Daniels type of role, a guy who comes in and just bangs threes in pretty much every one of their shots off the bench. Nick, go ahead.
If you look at what – I just want to point this out. If you look at what Doug McDermott's numbers did playing for the Mavericks, I think that's pretty much how, you know, Ryan Brokhoff. Doug McDermott almost shot 50% from three last year while he was playing for the Mavericks. So I think Brokhoff will slide into that role for sure.
Yep, that's exactly how I say it. And that can have some value, assuming he is not like McDermott in being the worst fantasy contributor in the entire history of fantasy contributors with his inability to do anything apart from shoot threes, can't do a single thing. But he is a guy, so we need to talk about Doug McDermott anymore on this podcast. Nick, thank you for coming on and talking about the Dallas Mavericks. What have you and Isaac got cracking over at Locked On Mavs at the moment?
Man, we just finished a series called the What If. We just did the biggest what ifs in Mavericks history. We did what if they had won in 2006 when they played the Heat and Dwayne Wade shot 1,000 free throws. What if, you know, DeAndre Jordan had chosen the Mavericks in 2015. What if Steve Nash had stayed with the Mavericks. A lot of really good what ifs stretched out over a couple of weeks there. So we just did that. And then we're going to start our positional rankings. We did this last year where we rank the starting point guard, shooting guard, small forward, however we try to categorize them. For every single team to see where the team ends up, so it'll be really interesting next week.
Nick, you warned me at the start of this podcast that your microphone had been playing up. It had been fine until that last 30 seconds. So we made it through there. I'll say goodbye to you and thank you for coming. But make sure you are checking out Locked On Mavs and my podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, which you're listening to. Give us a 5-star rating and a review. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Dennis Smith Jr.